Chapter 1. Now, Chloe is very excited about going to music camp, and we've been talking about it, and she's asked me this morning, she said, "Daddy, are you going to preach a long message or a short message?" Because we're leaving after church and supposed to be down there between 2 and 4, I think, and then they'll have a little service tonight, and at some point, I guess I'll be leading that or doing the devotional or maybe tonight. I don't know, but she asked me that, and I thought, well, she doesn't even know what a short message is. What's she talking about? She's never heard me preach a short message, I don't think. But anyway, I want to try to preach this morning from Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, and you be much in prayer that the Lord would speak to our hearts. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 13 down through verse number 16. Now, I've got a Scofield Bible, so part of that's on one page and part on the other. So I'll be doing a lot of page flipping today. But we're going to start in Romans chapter 1, verse number 13. The Bible said, "Now I would not have you," or let me start over there. "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Let's pray. Lord, we just come today and I want to thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, for meeting with us this morning. I really enjoyed the choir singing today. I enjoyed the Sunday school time. Lord, I'm thankful for that. But dear Lord, as we come this morning, we ask that you just speak to our hearts through the preaching of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that we would get out of it just exactly what you'd have for us to. I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would have free course and the gospel would go forth today with power and speak to hearts. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here today that's never been saved, Lord, I pray that you'd show them their great need of salvation. May today be the day that they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For, Lord, that is why we're here today. That's why we are a church. That's the commission that we have, is to preach the gospel so that lost people might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray you'd give us a greater burden to get the gospel out in these last days in which we live, and I pray you'd have your way in each and every heart. We'll thank you for all you do. I pray for your power just now as we try to preach the Word of God. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's read verse number 15 one more time, and we'll start there this morning. We read verses 13 through verse 16. But I want to take our title from verse number 15. The Bible said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." And the good Lord helping today, I want to try to preach a simple message on the subject. If you look, there's four words in the last part of that verse. It says, "To preach the gospel." That's what I want to try to preach on this morning, to preach the gospel. And preaching the gospel is the easiest thing that you'll ever do, and it's the hardest thing that you'll ever do. I've experienced that as a pastor down through the years. It's the easiest thing, and it's the hardest thing. It ought to be the easiest thing because it is a divine message. It is a message that we get from the Word of God. The gospel is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4. Paul talked about the gospel that was delivered unto him, and he talked about over there that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died upon the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a divine message. And as we go forth with a divine message, we are promised a divine assistance. Do you know the Lord will help you preach the gospel? And I'm not just talking about preaching like I'm preaching this morning, but you study it out in the New Testament. To preach the gospel is to tell others about the saving grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to be a witness. It's to give your testimony and tell somebody else what the Lord has done for you when he saved you. And you know, the Lord will help you as you do that. The Bible said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now the Lord has promised in his word that if we would go forth faithfully and hold forth the word of life, that he would go with us. Isn't that a blessing? He said, "I'll go with you. I'll help you. I'll give you power to do this." Now, that's not a power that you have in and of yourself, but the Lord has to help you. And he's promised in his word that he would help us as we go forth with this divine message. So on one hand, it's an easy thing to do, but on the other hand, it's a hard thing to do, because quite frankly this morning, as you go forth and try to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to run into satanic opposition. You believe in that this morning, that there is satanic opposition to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody was talking the other day about conspiracies. Do you know, if you're a Bible believer, you believe in conspiracy? Because there's always been a conspiracy that Satan conspires against God's people to hinder the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you believe there's a devil, of course, you believe he's going to try to hinder the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Romans chapter 1 verse 13, Paul said this, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you." Now, Paul expressed many times a desire to go to Rome and to preach the gospel, but notice what he said there in parentheses. He said, "But was let hitherto." That's a pause to explain what the problem is, or to explain the verse. And he said there in verse 13, "But was let hitherto." That word "let" means to be hindered. He said, "Many times I wanted to come unto you, but I was hindered from coming here." That's what that "hitherto" means. Now, Romans chapter number 1 follows Acts chapter number 28. Turn back one page in your Bible. Acts chapter number 27, Paul is shipwrecked. Acts chapter number 28, they make it to shore. Acts chapter number 28, verses 1 and 2, it said, "And when they were escaped," that's the shipwreck, they were out on the sea, and a great storm came, and so they thought they were going to drown, but God miraculously delivered every person upon that ship. The Lord told Paul, he said, "Everybody's going to be all right. Just stay with the ship." And so they all stayed together. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And I've got that word "barbarous people" underlined there, because he mentions that over in Romans chapter 1. I'll show you later on. He said in verse number 16, just skipping on down in chapter 28 of the book of Acts, he said in verse 16, "And when we came to Rome," that's where they were trying to get to before the shipwreck, Well, they finally make it to Rome. When we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now, Paul had tried for years to get to Rome. When he finally gets there, he gets there in a manner that he probably hadn't imagined before. He's under guard, under watch, under arrest, and being kept by a Roman soldier. But you know what? He still made it to Rome. Sometimes you may not get somewhere like you thought you was going to get there, but if it's God's will for you to get there, you'll get there. And so he got there. And he had a government escort. Isn't that a blessing? And so he made it to Rome. And he stayed there for at least 2 years, the Bible said in verse 30 and 31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. He was under house arrest in Rome. So he received visitors that came. He did have the freedom to do that. What was he doing in verse 31? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So when he said in chapter 1 verse 13 that he had desired to go to Rome but was let hitherto, boy, that's bound to be one of the greatest understatements in the Bible. It took him years to get there. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, he said, are they ministers of Christ? I the more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. And he suffered stripes. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned once upon a time. They tried to kill him. Thrice he was shipwrecked, a night and a day he'd spent in the deep. And he talks about perils and perils and perils. Perils, not pillows. Perils. Lots of dangerous days and nights the Apostle Paul had lived through. But finally his heart's desire was to come to Rome. And he finally makes it to Rome. And he said, but was let hitherto. There's a lot of things hindered me along the way, but I finally made it. Had a desire. And I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So finally Paul makes it to Rome, and his purpose, his grand desire is to preach the gospel. That's what he wanted to do. And that's what he said in verse number 15. To preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And in these verses, Paul uses the little phrase, I am, 3 times. And that's what I want to use today for a little outline to preach this message the Lord has laid upon my heart. Now in verse number 14, Paul said this. He said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. He had just been among the barbarians. And by the time Paul gets to Rome, he includes that in this letter. He said, I have a desire even to reach the barbarians. In fact, you'll find out those barbarous people, they were pretty good to Paul. And he said, well, I was down there. I got a real burden for them. I want to preach the gospel to the barbarians, the Greeks, and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. But it's interesting that Paul said in verse 14, he said, I am debtor. Now, if he had been talking about credit card debt or financial debt, and we were talking about that this morning, a whole lot of people would say a great big amen right there. Boy, I know about being in that kind of debt. That's not the kind of debt he was talking about. But that word debtor, that is what that means. It means the same thing to be debtor. To be a debtor is what you think it is. It means to be an ower. It means to be indebted to somebody. You owe somebody something is what it means to be a debtor. And he said, he didn't say I am a debtor, but he said I am debtor. I am debtor. I am indebted. I am owing both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, Paul said there. I was studying about that word debtor, and the Webster's Dictionary gives a illustration, a sentence describing what it means to be debtor. And it said this, in Athens, an insolvent debtor became slave to his creditor. So in the Athenian culture, when somebody was insolvent in their debts, that means they didn't have any money to pay their debt off. They became a slave to their creditor. That's how the laws were in Athens. So if you didn't have enough money to pay your debt, you'd end up being a slave to the person that lent you the money to begin with. Now, it's interesting. Paul said in chapter 1, verse 1 of Romans, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. You know what that word servant there means? If you look it up, when Paul said a servant of Jesus Christ, it means this, to be a bond slave. He was a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ had paid a debt for Paul that he'd never be able to pay his own self. And so he said about his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, Paul, a servant. I'm just a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid a debt I'd never be able to pay. Now, I know I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it again. Over in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, where Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul said, you ought to dedicate your life to the Lord. You ought to live your whole life for Him. It's just your reasonable service. And when I was a young preacher and I'd obtained some books, different books, and some of them I got several books by Charles Finney, and I was reading in those books what Charles Finney, great American evangelist, lived around the time of Abraham Lincoln, same time period. God greatly used him in the second great awakening in the United States of America. And Charles Finney said about that reasonable service. He said if a rich man pays off a poor man's debt, and that poor man realizes he will never, ever make enough money, he will never live long enough to pay that rich man back what he's owed, he said it's just his reasonable service that he would go to that rich man and he would say, I can never pay you back, but I can give you my life service. I want to serve you the rest of my life. That's how I want to pay you back. And I read that as a young preacher, and boy, what an influence that made upon my life to think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me and the great debt that He paid so that I could be saved. The least I could do, my reasonable service would be that I'd live my life for Him. That I'd give Him all the days of my life. I mean, that's just reasonable today. That's not unreasonable. Without Christ, you'd have died and went to hell. You will never be able to pay off your sin debt. But Jesus died upon the cross and shed His precious blood and paid the price for you so that you could go free and you didn't have to die and go to hell. It's just reasonable. You'd live for Him. You'd serve Him all the days of your life. I read another story one time, and it was during the days of the slave trade in our nation. And this man went to a slave auction. You know, that'd be a demeaning thing to be auctioned off as a slave, wouldn't it? I mean, you talk about, we live in a day and time where people talk about your self-esteem. How would that make you feel, somebody bidding for your life to own you? But that used to take place in this country and other countries. And there was a slave auction, and there was a rich man went down there to the slave auction, and there was a slave up there on the auction block, and he was a great big fella, and boy, the bidding was high for that man. They wanted him. They wanted that slave. And there was one man, he was just adamant about, you know, if you've ever been to an auction, they get to bidding against one another. And the price on this young man, it kept going up and up and up. And that white man, that rich man, he finally won the auction and he got that slave. And that slave, he was bitter about that. And you could tell in his actions and in his demeanor. And so he met his new owner there. And he was, as I said, you could tell that he didn't like that being bid upon and sold and being owned by somebody. And that white rich man, he got to talking to him and he said, "You misunderstood me, sir." He said, "I'm an emancipator." He said, "The reason I paid such a great price for you is because I wanted to set you free." And that's what that man did with his riches. He went around and he would buy slaves, and when he bought them, he'd sign over their papers and say, "You're a free man. I just wanted to set you free." And he gave that man his papers. He said, "You're a free man." And that man got down and he said, "Master, I'll serve you all the rest of the days of my life." See, it makes a difference why somebody wants you. Jesus Christ, he paid the price for you on Calvary. How come he did that, preacher? So he could set you free. A lot of people think that coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is coming and being a slave and losing all the fun in your life. But I'm telling you, Jesus paid the price so you could go free. Paul said, "I'm a debtor. Jesus paid the price for me. And I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to Christ and I'm a debtor," he said, "to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unto the unwise." Boy, it's good to be free today. I need to tell the church something this morning that's always difficult to hear. What I want to tell you this morning is that you are in debt. You are in debt. Boy, it is never fun to find out you're in debt, is it? Have you ever thought you had something paid off and found out you didn't really have it paid off? And you're still in debt. Paul said, "I am debtor." I don't believe Paul ever envisioned a time in his life where he would get out of this debt that he owed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we are. We are debtors. We are in debt as a body of Christ, as a church, that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the great commission to go into all the gospel and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Being a debt, it means that you've been bought with a price, doesn't it? You've been bought with a price this morning. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary and paid a great price for you and I so that we could be saved. It means if you're a debtor this morning, it means you don't have to die and go to hell. We're debtors to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're debtors to those that have not yet heard the gospel. That's what Paul was talking about in verse 14 where he said, "I'm debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians." What really got me studying about this was I was studying about the barbarians there. And you know what? If you and I were to study today and find out, and I'm not going to get into it this morning, but I could. You know what you'd find out? Who them barbarians were? That's your kinfolk. That's the classification of people that most of the people in this congregation this morning, that's your ancestors, that's your grandparents. It's a bunch of barbarians. Because I don't think any of you are Jewish. You might be. I don't think anybody in here is a Roman. Might be. I don't think we've got any Greeks. But I'll tell you, if we could study our ancestry out, what most of us would be, if you went way back, Gothic, Scandinavian, Celtic, Anglo-Saxon, all of those people that were not Greeks were barbarians. You're a bunch of barbarians this morning. Do you know that? And you're indebted to other barbarians that they might be saved and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you better be glad you heard it one day. Because I'm telling you, I've studied about them barbarians. There's not much hope for them. He said, I was on the island of Malta. That's in Italy there, or around where modern day Italy is. And he said, those barbarians, they were kind to me. They were good to me. And I want to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Greeks and the Romans. And look what he said in chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now he was a Jew. And he wanted to win the Jews. And I believe we are also, we are instructed in the Word of God that we also would have an outreach to the Jew first. Because that's what the Bible says. And so we're indebted this morning. We are debtors. What do you do at Mount Lebanon? What is your mission? What are you all about? We're debtors. We're trying to get the gospel out before the trump of God sounds. That's what we're supposed to do. We are debtors. If you turn around and look at this morning on my left-hand side, the mission board, all those missionaries, that map of the world, we're debtors this morning. We're debtors to get the gospel out to the world. It's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to go to the Jew first is what the Bible says, what Paul said. I think a lot of times we get it backwards. We're to go to the Jew. We're to go to the Gentiles. And we're debtors, just like the Apostle Paul said, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Now, look in verse number 15 what he said. He said, I am ready. I like this. He said, so much as in me is, that is him saying, all that is within me. That's how serious we ought to be about this thing. And that's what he was saying. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, that means that ready, that word ready there. It means to be forward in spirit. We might say it like this. We might say, he is chomping at the bits. He just can't wait. He's ready to go. Ready to go. That's how Paul was. He said, I'm ready. I'm eager. I'm anxious. I'm desirous of this. I'm chomping at the bit. We use the phrase, we say, ready, willing, and able. Somebody's ready, willing, and able. That's really not the right order, though. I got thinking about that being ready, willing, and able. We ought to really be willing, able, and ready. Got to be willing first. If you're not willing. But oh, we ought to be willing. That's the number one prerequisite in the work of the Lord is just to be willing. So, oh, preacher, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't sing, I can't talk to anybody. I'm shy, I'm not fit for that. But hey, if you're willing, just be willing. That's all you gotta be, just be willing. I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about being a young man in the Air Force and being in England, and I'm telling you, God knew what He was doing when He put us in the Faith Baptist Church over there. I mean, God sending me to England and putting me in that church, that changed my life. Changed my life. And if God had not sent us over there, I don't know that I'd be right here today. I just don't know. But boy, I remember getting in that church and getting on fire for the things of God, and I was just eating it up. And I mean, I heard preaching while I was growing up, but at that point in my life is where I really begin to hear it. I really begin to hear it and take it serious and, boy, just eat it up. And our church would go out on visitation and they asked me to go. You know, we started going to church and being real regular, and some of those young men, my friends, they were older than me, but I look back at it now, they were all young. They invited me to go out and with them on visitation. They kept talking about this, and we were going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but they kept talking about, well, we're going to go out visiting, and some of them asked us, and I thought, my goodness, I can't do that. I can't talk to anybody. I'm not able to do that, but they asked me to go, and I said, well, I don't know much about it, but I'm willing. I'm willing. That ought to be the thing in your life. I mean, if you can't do it, you think you can't do anything, but just try being willing. See what God won't do with you. Just try the Lord. Just say, Lord, I know. You can tell the Lord that. He knows. You know. Might as well be honest. Just say, Lord, I just don't feel like I can do anything. But I'm willing to do what you want me to do. And just see what God will do with that. That's first thing. Just be willing. If you're going to be ready, first of all, you must be willing. Say, God, I will. I want to. Man, woman, boy, girl, it does not matter. Just be willing. Willing and then able. We need to be able. Could you share the gospel with somebody? I mean, really? If you met somebody somewhere and God so ordered your steps that you met somebody and they plain out asked you about being saved. I mean, made it real easy on you. Could you tell them what it means to be saved? Could you show them anything from the Bible, the Word of God, about what it means to be saved? Would you be able to do that? Let me tell you, it's good to know what the Bible says. But it is so much better to know the name and the address and the house number. Because this, I mean, everybody says the Bible says. I had somebody past few weeks told me, I said, the Bible says, or they said to me, said, well, the Bible says, and I said, where? Because I knew the Bible didn't say what they were saying the Bible says. I said, I don't think the Bible says that, but I'll tell you what the Bible does say. Are you able to do that? These are children ought to be able. Those that are in elementary school ought to be able to tell their friends, this is what it means to be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's Jesus. That whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Surely we know that. Got to be willing. Got to be able. And then we're ready. We got to be ready. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm willing. He had been preaching the gospel ever since he got saved. He was willing. He was able. And he said, I'm ready. Boy, we need to be ready. I know this. I'm preaching to me this morning. I know that I've never given a gospel tract to somebody that I didn't have. You'll get that after a while. You will never give a gospel. You won't give a gospel tract to anybody if you don't have it on you. Have you ever got somewhere? I think I might have told you this, but I was eating with a missionary, and we got ready to leave the tip. And I always try to leave a gospel tract with my tip. And I said, I don't have a tract. Do you have a tract? And he got to looking, he didn't have a track. I said, what's wrong with you? You're a missionary. You're supposed to have a gospel track. But you know what? I'm a missionary. I'm supposed to have a gospel track. I need to be ready. A lot of times we just don't because we're not ready. I never leave the house without a knife. Never, never, never since I was a little boy. No, you can't have it. Brother Finley tried to keep it during Bible school. I finally got it back. I never leave the house. Never, never, never. I never leave the house without a handkerchief. I always, since I was a little boy, I was taught, son, you need to carry a knife. You need to carry a handkerchief. You need to carry your keys in your pocket. You need to carry, I've got everything I need. But a lot of times I don't have a gospel track. What's wrong with me? What's more important? That's a little sword. That's a little gospel preacher that you can give to somebody. You got to be ready. A lot of times we're not looking. We're not looking for an opportunity to witness to somebody. But there is no, you don't have to go to a foreign country to find lost people. They're all over the place. Just this past summer, we've met people that never held a King James Bible in their hand. Can you imagine that? Don't know the gospel, never been to church, never been witnessed to. I'm talking about right here in our county. We got to be ready. They're all around us. We went up yesterday to the Grandfather Highland Games. My goodness, what a crowd of people. Looked around, they said there's some 30,000 people comes up there every year. I seen two people that were local that I didn't know. I mean, people come from everywhere. Right to our doorstep. And as I looked around and walked around, and it's all very interesting to me, and I like to study history and heritage and all of those things. But you know what? Not a gospel witness nowhere. Nowhere. Well, that bothered me. I mean, good Lord. Right here in the Bible Belt. Not a Bible, not a tract, not a church, nothing. Nothing. See, Paul said, boy, if that had been Paul, he'd have been ready. He said, that's a bunch of barbarians up there. I'm going to go preach the gospel to them. So he was ready. And when he got to Rome, he wasn't concerned about getting a lawyer and, you know, getting off the charges and standing before. No, he said, I'll tell you, I'm here, I'm under arrest, but boy, I'm ready to preach the gospel. That's what I come for. It's important to me. He said, I am ready. He said, I am debtor. I am ready. And boy, I like verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He said, I am not ashamed. You ought to pay particular attention to this. He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He's talking about the gospel. He said it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me say that the gospel works on every person that hears it. Did you know that? Say, preacher, I don't think that's right. No, that is right. The gospel works on every person that hears it. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. They may not get saved, but I promise you it works on them. That's why the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is so hated in the world in which we live. And they would like to never hear it mentioned outside the church walls. Now you can be as religious as you want to in the church. Just keep it in the church. Why is the world so opposed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because when they hear it, it works on them. It convicts them. It bothers them. It changes some of them, and some of them get saved by the grace of God, but not if they don't hear it. They gotta hear it. It's the power of God. It's not the power of man. It's not the power of that I have the power of persuasion or debate. But as you go and preach the gospel, it's the power of God. As people hear it, it works on them. It bothers them. And if you're saved by that power, you know what I'm saying is true, because it worked on you one time. It worked on you. I was a little boy, 9 years old. I'd heard the gospel all my life, but one Sunday morning I went to church and it really worked on me. I heard it. And as far as I know, I don't know if I'd ever really heard it before. But boy, when I heard it on that Sunday morning, it really worked on me. I knew I was lost. I knew I'd die and go to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew I needed to be saved. Hey, it worked on me. I got saved. If you've been saved, you know that it works on you. And if you're honest this morning, that is why many times we don't preach the gospel like we ought to. Because we know it works. What I'm saying this morning is that you can function in society pretty good. Just by going along, going to work, going to school, going out to buy your groceries, going to your family reunions, wherever it is that you go, just go along, be a good person. Everybody knows you go to church, you take it serious. You may not cuss, you may not drink, you may not do what a lot of them's doing. You can get along pretty good. People, they'll accept you all right at work and school, just like that. They know that, you know, you're a Christian. But if you really start to live your faith in front of people, and you really begin to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with your boss, with people you go to school with, your teachers, people you buy things off of. I mean, if you really are not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you went to work tomorrow morning and you told somebody, said, you know what, we've known each other a long time. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know if you died without Christ, where you'd go? See, that changes everything. That puts you on a whole different level than just being a good person, going to church, minding your own, you know. That changes everything. All of a sudden, where you got along real good, all of a sudden you'll find out people think you're a nut job. People think you're a fanatic. See, they don't care if you're a little religious. That's all right. Most people in America are religious. But if you really begin to share your faith, then you're a fanatic. Then I don't know if we want you to go eat lunch with us or not. Then all of a sudden, you are looked upon differently. You see, there's a difference. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Boy, if you'd believe that, it'd change your life too. See, it works on everybody. Whether they get saved or not, that's up to the Lord. But it does work. And as soon as you introduce the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into your relationships that you have, that changes everything. See, Paul, he was a real Christian. Who was I talking with? I was talking to Brother Melvin. We was talking about Preacher Arndt Greer. Some of you remember Preacher Arndt. Preacher Arndt was not ashamed. I want to be more like Preacher Arndt. Yeah, you would see him in a restaurant and he'd be over there. I mean, he didn't care if he's at the funeral home. He didn't care if he's in a store. He didn't care if he's in a restaurant. You'd likely to see him shout and hold them great big old hands up and praise the Lord. He's a great Christian. There's many others I could give example of this morning, but well, to be like Paul there, he said, I am not ashamed. Paul was not ashamed. Now I'm going to close this morning. As I was singing about this, and I was singing about Paul said, I am, three times. I am debtor. I am ready to preach the gospel. I am not ashamed. Now I know Paul was that way. But as I close this morning, I think to myself, could we say, am I? See, he said, I am. I have no doubt about that. They cut off his head for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But could I say this morning, am I? Am I a debtor? Yes, sir, I am. Am I ready? Boy, I want to be. I hope I will be when I go out this week. I want to be ready. Am I ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Maybe I am. Maybe we are. We don't tell it like we ought to. We know it'll change our relationships with people we're around and comfortable with. But Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You say, what you got to do? You got to believe. To everyone that believeth. Have you believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, oh preacher, I don't know if he'd save me. You just try him and see. You just try believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. See if that won't work for you too. I believe it will. I believe it will. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed.